Chapter 10. Revolt of Alexander. In the year 160, Alexander, who was called Epiphanes, son of Antiochus, came up and took Ptolemais. He was accepted, and began to reign there. When King Demetrius heard of it, he mustered a very large army, and marched out to engage him in combat. Demetrius sent a letter to Jonathan, written in peaceful terms, to pay him honor. For he said, "Let us be the first to make peace with him, before he makes peace with Alexander against us, since he will remember all the wrongs we have done to him, his brothers, and his nation." So Demetrius authorized Jonathan as his ally to gather an army and procure arms, and he ordered that the hostages in the citadel be released to him. Accordingly, Jonathan went up to Jerusalem and read the letter to all the people. The men in the citadel were struck with fear when they heard that the king had given him authority to gather an army. They released the hostages to Jonathan, and he gave them back to their parents. Thereafter, Jonathan dwelt in Jerusalem, and began to build and restore the city. He ordered the workmen to build the walls, and encircle Mount Zion with square stones for its fortification, which they did. The foreigners in the strongholds that Bacchides had built took flight. Each one of them left his place, and returned to his own country. Only in Beth-Zur did some remain of those who had abandoned the law and the commandments, for they used it as a place of refuge. Jonathan supports Alexander. King Alexander heard of the promises that Demetrius had made to Jonathan. He was also told of the battles and valiant deeds of Jonathan and his brothers, and the troubles that they had endured. He said, "Shall we ever find another man like him? Let us now make him our friend and ally." So he sent Jonathan a letter written in these terms. "King Alexander sends greetings to his brother Jonathan. We have heard of you, that you are a mighty warrior, and worthy to be our friend. We have therefore appointed you today to be high priest of your nation. You are to be called the king's friend, and you are to look after our interests and preserve amity with us." He also sent him a purple robe and a crown of gold. Jonathan put on the sacred vestments in the seventh month of the year 160 at the Feast of Booths, and he gathered an army and procured many arms. When Demetrius heard of these things, he was distressed and said, "Why have we allowed Alexander to get ahead of us by gaining the friendship of the Jews and thus strengthening himself? I too will write them conciliatory words and offer dignities and gifts so that they may be an aid to me." So he sent them this message: "King Demetrius sends greetings to the Jewish nation. We have heard how you have kept the treaty with us, and continued in our friendship, and not gone over to our enemies, and we are glad. Continue, therefore, to keep faith with us, and we will reward you with favors in return for what you do in our behalf. We will grant you many exemptions, and will bestow gifts on you. I now free you, as I also exempt all the Jews from the tribute, the salt tax, and the crown levies. Instead of collecting the third of the grain and the half of the fruit of the trees that should be my share, I renounce the right from this day forward. Neither now nor in the future will I collect them from the land of Judah or from the three districts annexed from Samaria. Let Jerusalem and her territory, her tithes and her tolls, be sacred and free from tax. I also yield my authority over the citadel in Jerusalem, and I transfer it to the high priest, that he may put in it such men as he shall choose to guard it. Every one of the Jews who has been carried into captivity from the land of Judah into any part of my kingdom, I set at liberty without ransom, and let all their taxes, even those on their cattle, be cancelled. Let all feast days, Sabbaths, new moon festivals, appointed days, and the 3 days that precede each feast day, and the 3 days that follow, be days of immunity and exemption for every Jew in my kingdom. Let no man have authority to exact payment from them, or to molest any of them in any matter. Let 30,000 Jews be enrolled in the king's army, and allowances be given them, as is due to all the king's soldiers. Let some of them be stationed in the king's principal strongholds, and of these, let some be given positions of trust in the affairs of the kingdom. Let their superiors and their rulers be taken from among them, and let them follow their own laws, as the king has commanded in the land of Judah. Let the 3 districts that have been added to Judea from the province of Samaria be incorporated with Judea, so that they may be under one man, and obey no other authority than the high priest. Ptolemais and its confines I give as a present to the sanctuary in Jerusalem for the necessary expenses of the sanctuary. I make a yearly personal grant of 15,000 silver shekels out of the royal revenues from appropriate places. All the additional funds that the officials did not hand over, as they had done in the first years, shall henceforth be handed over for the services of the temple. Moreover, the dues of 5,000 silver shekels that used to be taken from the revenue of the sanctuary every year shall be cancelled, since these funds belong to the priests who perform the services. Whoever takes refuge in the temple of Jerusalem, or in any of its precincts, because of money he owes the king, or because of any other debt, shall be released, together with all the goods he possesses in my kingdom. The cost of rebuilding and restoring the structures of the sanctuary shall be covered out of the royal revenue. Likewise, the cost of building the walls of Jerusalem and fortifying it all around, and of building walls in Judea, shall be donated from the royal revenue. When Jonathan and the people heard these words, they neither believed nor accepted them, for they remembered the great evil that Demetrius had done in Israel, and how sorely he had afflicted them. They therefore decided in favor of Alexander, for he had been the first to address them peaceably, and they remained his allies for the rest of his life. King Alexander gathered together a large army and encamped opposite Demetrius. The two kings joined battle, and when the army of Demetrius fled, Alexander pursued him and overpowered his soldiers. He pressed the battle hard until sunset, and Demetrius fell that day. Treaty of Ptolemy and Alexander. Alexander sent ambassadors to Ptolemy, king of Egypt, with this message. Now that I have returned to my realm, taken my seat on the throne of my fathers, and established my rule by crushing Demetrius and gaining control of my country, for I engaged him in battle, defeated him and his army, and recovered the royal throne, let us now establish friendship with each other. Give me your daughter for my wife, and as your son-in-law, I will give to you and to her gifts worthy of you. King Ptolemy answered in these words, Happy the day on which you returned to the land of your fathers and took your seat on their royal throne. I will do for you what you have written, but meet me in Ptolemais so that we may see each other, and I will become your father-in-law as you have proposed. So Ptolemy, with his daughter Cleopatra, set out from Egypt and came to Ptolemais in the year 162. There King Alexander met him, and Ptolemy gave him his daughter Cleopatra in marriage. Their wedding was celebrated at Ptolemais with great splendor, according to the custom of kings. King Alexander also wrote to Jonathan to come and meet him. So he went with pomp to Ptolemais, where he met the two kings, and gave them and their friends silver and gold, and many gifts, and thus won their favor. Some pestilent Israelites, transgressors of the law, united against him to accuse him, but the king paid no heed to them. He ordered Jonathan to be divested of his ordinary garments, and to be clothed in royal purple, and so it was done. The king also had him seated at his side. He said to his magistrates, Go with him to the center of the city, and make a proclamation that no one is to bring charges against him on any grounds, or be troublesome to him in any way. When his accusers saw the honor paid to him in the proclamation, and the purple with which he was clothed, they all fled. The king also honored him by numbering him among his chief friends, and made him military commander and governor of the province. So Jonathan returned in peace and happiness to Jerusalem. Victory over Apollonius. In the year 165, Demetrius, son of Demetrius, came from Crete to the land of his fathers. When King Alexander heard of it, he was greatly troubled, and returned to Antioch. Demetrius appointed Apollonius governor of Coelesyria. Having gathered a large army, Apollonius pitched his camp at Jamnia. From there, he sent this message to Jonathan, the high priest. You are the only one who resists us. I am laughed at and put to shame on your account. Why are you displaying power against us in the mountains? If you have confidence in your forces, come down now to us in the plain, and let us test each other's strength there. The city forces are on my side. Inquire and learn who I am, and who the others are who are helping me. Men say that you cannot make a stand against us, because your fathers were twice put to flight in their own land. Now you too will be unable to withstand our cavalry, and such a force as this in the plain, where there is not a stone or a pebble or a place to flee. When Jonathan heard the message of Apollonius, he was roused. Choosing 10,000 men, he set out from Jerusalem, and Simon his brother joined him to help him. He pitched camp near Joppa, but the men in the city shut him out because Apollonius had a garrison there. When the Jews besieged it, the men of the city became afraid and opened the gates, and so Jonathan took possession of Joppa. When Apollonius heard of it, he drew up 3,000 horsemen and an innumerable infantry. He marched on Azotus as though he were going on through the country, but at the same time he advanced into the plain, because he had such a large number of horsemen to rely on. Jonathan followed him to Azotus, and they engaged in battle. Apollonius, however, had left 1,000 cavalry in hiding behind them. When Jonathan discovered that there was an ambush behind him, his army was surrounded. From morning until evening, they showered his men with arrows. But his men held their ground, as Jonathan had commanded, whereas the enemy's horses became tired out. When the horsemen were exhausted, Simon attacked the phalanx, overwhelmed it, and put it to flight. The horsemen, too, were scattered over the plain. The enemy fled to Azotus and entered Beth Dagon, the temple of their idol, to save themselves. But Jonathan burned and plundered Azotus with its neighboring towns, and destroyed by fire both the temple of Dagon and the men who had taken refuge in it. Those who fell by the sword, together with those who were burned alive, came to about 8,000 men. Then Jonathan left there and pitched his camp at Ashkelon, and the people of that city came out to meet him with great pomp. He and his men then returned to Jerusalem, laden with much booty. When King Alexander heard of these events, he accorded new honors to Jonathan. He sent him a gold buckle, such as is usually given to king's kinsmen. He also gave him Ekron and all its territory as a possession.